Welcome to the Predictable Revenue Podcast, where frontline sales leaders teach you how to build and scale an outbound sales team.
This episode of the Predictable Revenue Podcast is brought to you by SDR Pods. Learn how we can build you a fully equipped sales development team to execute on personalized multi-channel prospecting and book you more meetings.
These are wild times. We all know that, and we're probably sick of hearing it at this point, but the world keeps turning. We need to keep doing business, and we need a really good strategy on how exactly to do that. I'm your host, Sarah Hicks, and today on the Predictable Revenue Podcast, I'm going to be chatting to an expert about actions sales leaders need to take in a recession. He's the founder and CEO of Badger Maps, the number one route planner for field salespeople. After receiving his MBA from Stanford, he joined Google, where he became Google Enterprise's top sales executive globally in 2009. In 2012, he founded Badger Maps to help field salespeople be more successful with multi-stop route planning. He also hosts the Outside Sales Talk podcast, where he interviews industry experts on their top sales tips and is the president of the Sales Hall of Fame. Steve Benson, welcome to the Predictable Revenue Podcast.
Sarah, thanks for having me. I'm really excited to be here.
Me too. Well, let's give our listeners a little bit of background. Tell us a bit about yourself, Steve, and your experience as a sales leader.
Sure. My whole career has been in sales. And after business school, I went to IBM and I was selling complex solutions for them that involved hardware and software and consulting. And while I was there, I learned software is the stuff to be selling from my perspective. And so I moved to a software company, Autonomy, which was selling search and data management software. And then they got purchased by HP. And I went to Google. And I was at Google for about 4 years. And then the last thing, I was in their enterprise group. And the last thing I did was I was working on maps with them. And when I was in that role, I kind of could see how we could solve a bunch of problems that field salespeople had in the field, and field sales meaning like people that meet with their customers face to face, so med device sales reps, pharmaceutical people that sell tires to tire stores and beer to bars, et cetera. So they have a bunch of like geography problems, mapping problems, routing problems, schedule problems that they have to work out because they actually have to be in a certain place at a certain time, which makes it challenging to figure out who should I focus on given where I have to be already. Mm-hmm. And how do I do it in an optimal way? And so I could kind of see how all those problems could be solved using the Google Maps API, and mobile devices were relatively new at the time. You know, this was like 2011. That's how I ended up starting Badger, and that's how I ended up where things are today.
Awesome. Well, let's move into the meat of it then. How did COVID or kind of the ensuing recession impact things for you guys at Badger Maps, just for some color kind of behind the conversation?
Yeah, because we sell to field salespeople and people couldn't go in the field, a lot of our customers paused their services with us. We ended up losing about... And a lot of them have also just gone out of business altogether. So we've ended up losing about 20% of our revenue stream, or 20% of our customer base. Mm-hmm. And that was mostly concentrated in like March and April, a little in May. And then we've been growing slowly since then. So different software companies have been affected in different ways by this, obviously. I mean, you could be Zoom, who they're selling a ton because of this, but then mm-hmm. a lot of people just weren't really affected all that much. And then some people were affected negatively like we were.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. What about in 2008? You would have been at that first software job at that point, right? Did you see kind of a similar impact? Because of course we're going to talk about kind of actions to take in a recession. So what about that recession? What was your experience there?
Yeah, in 2008, I was at Autonomy and then at Google. I guess, you know, the big lesson there was that a bad economy doesn't always affect the tech industry, right? Like when Google fired, I forget what it was, 800 recruiters or something, because the thought was, well, we're not going to be hiring anyone, so we don't need recruiters. And they were a lot of them were, kind of temporary employees, but like not permanent employees of the company, but 1099 employees. And so they let them all go. And pretty quickly they realized that that was a mistake, because actually the downturn didn't really affect them. People were still paying just as much for their Google ads because they could measure what they were getting out of their Google ads. And so if you're putting, you know, $100,000 in the top of the funnel and getting $140,000 out the bottom, you're going to keep doing that. And so, their revenue really wasn't that impacted. And so they should have been using that time to pick up great employees and keep recruiting and really charge hard after that. But instead they kind of battened down the hatches. Didn't end up hurting them in the long run. They're going to do just fine. But
yeah, they're okay.
Yeah.
Cool. Well, I think that's a great segue in kind of what people should actually be doing in a recession. What are the actual kind of actions that they need to take? Of course, that's what we're going to talk about today. So what do you think are the new challenges a sales leader needs to overcome in a bad economy that they might not have been thinking about already?
Well, I think there's a couple things. First, your competitors may be desperate, and desperate people do desperate things. So, you know, a lot of companies are really hurting, obviously, from this, and they're depending on your industry, and so they're willing to do things they would never have done before. What are those things? You know, you might see deep discounting from competitors. You may see competitors liquidating their inventory to make ends meet, really trying to shove the channel full of product. That you may see them give away things, give away free consulting, give away other low cost to them or valuable things to steal your customers away from you that they wouldn't have given away for free before. So that's kind of on the what your competitors will do side. I think also, you know, you're going to see challenges from customers and prospects that you hadn't seen before. So resistance to engaging with the sales cycle, resistance to meeting with you, not wanting to meet in person. If anyone didn't have an excuse if someone needed an excuse to not look at your product, now they have a fantastic excuse, right? So you may run into resistance to spending money. And these can be just, you know, commands coming down from the top, the CEO or the CFO saying, hey, we are not spending money on anything. So we don't care if you really want it, you still can't have it. So that's something you're going to run into. And you're going to run into aggressive procurement departments. So, you know, people whose job it is to kind of get discounts and better terms, you're going to see them leveraging the down economy to jam down your margins and get a better deal for their company, which is obviously their job.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So you're going to see your competitors doing some out of the box stuff to basically undercut you wherever they can. You're going to see resistance from prospects. People don't want to be prospected to right now. It's tough. Resistance kind of around the bottom line of that company. Obviously budgets are tight, and then procurement kind of trying to finagle a great deal out of you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Got great it. Summary. Look at you.
Look at me go. So how can a sales manager react in a bad economy to their margins compressing?
Yeah. Well, and that's what you see from in these circumstances where, you know, the procurement department got a better deal out of you they're negotiating harder. You start seeing a tightening of your margins at your company. I think a key, you want to empower and enable the sales team to defend the margins in these times. One thing you can do to kind of encourage your reps to defend margins, and what I'm going to say is not normal. And I'm guessing most of you, a good chunk of your listeners are in the software industry, and this is not normal in software, but most people in software are comped on the top line revenue. Most sales reps are paid based on the revenue they bring on, not on the margin of the revenue. And in a lot of other industries where margins are tighter, you do comp on margin, not revenue. And you know, if your reps are currently comped on revenue and you're feeling your margins tightening, you can consider switching to comping them on profit. And the reason you do that is if your current profit margins are like 30%. Or 60%. Let's just pretend they're 30%. And if your reps give a 15% discount, which is, you know, probably a pretty common ask in times like these, you need two deals to be worth as one deal, as much as one deal was at full price, right? Mm-hmm. And, but if your rep's comp plan is aligned with revenue, that 15% discount only costs them 15% of their commission. So it's half the margin for the company, but only 15% of their commission. So they'll obviously do that to win the deal. Now, if the comp plan is aligned with profit, that 15% discount just costs them half their commission. So if you align the comp plan to the profit line instead of the revenue line, you're incentivizing the sales team to defend the margins better. And then you want to give them training and help them, you know, with negotiation skills, et cetera. It's a great time to teach negotiation skills to help them defend that. You know, and in general, as a general rule of thumb, you always want to design comp plans to be aligned with your business. And I'm not saying when I describe this, I'm not saying change your reps on target earnings, pay them less. I'm just saying change the plan to reward the reps that are more in line with the company's needs right now and are generating mm-hmm. the most profitability.
Okay. So would you recommend against discounting kind of in general, like for reps to do their best basically to just keep things at their original pricing? Or would you recommend that everybody kind of work a little bit harder to have more opportunities in the pipeline so that they can close more deals with some kind of discount?
I mean, it depends on the industry. In some industries, discounting is just how it's done. I would say, you know, in software, sometimes it's done that way, sometimes it's not. Certainly the way software used to be sold, Oracle kind of trained the world to expect big discounts at the end of quarters and the end of year. But I would say discounting, it's generally better to just price your product fairly. And this is also dependent on what country you're selling into, right? If you're selling into India, you know, you want to raise your prices and then drop your prices in a negotiation because hopefully end up at the same place, because there are some cultures where you just kind of discounting as a part of how you do business. But
right.
In America, for example, though, I would say it's better to just price your product fairly, put thought behind where you're putting the price and then not move on the price, but negotiate on other areas of value creation that you can make.
Got it. Okay. So what do sales leaders need to change in their behavior in a time of crisis to keep revenue flowing in?
Well, I guess change your behavior to keep revenue going as a sales leader. I mean, there's several things, I guess. You know, an economic crisis is one of the hardest times to be a sales leader. The whole company depends on the revenue that your team is producing to survive. So sales leaders need to really step up and be great in times of crisis. So what do they have to change? I think, you know, more than ever in a time of crisis, leaders need to confront reality and be action oriented. They need to be honest in their assessments of the challenges facing the organization. They need to embrace bad news. They need to ask hard questions, and they have to maintain a positive outlook and build an action plan and transparency. I think they have to be transparent with their team about what that action plan is. Sales managers need to be more responsive in these times. They need to be more supportive. The team is scared. They're worried about losing their jobs. They're worried about how hard it'll be to get another job with unemployment where it's at. They're worried about their commission check evaporating. And, you know, remember, sales reps aren't paying their mortgage with their base salary, right? And so depending on how the economy is affecting sales, it's affecting their ability to make ends meet as well. Mm-hmm. I guess, what actions does this translate into? You have to guide your team. You need to coach your team. I think a rule of thumb is in a difficult time or any kind of transition, you want to be spending about half your time as a sales manager coaching your reps. If you're not spending about half your time coaching them to make their better, you want to spend more. It's what you don't want to do is go silent. You don't want to, you know, hide in your home office. And this is really easy to do in a remote world. It's easy to go silent and just kind of start managing by spreadsheet. You know, you have to ask your You have to ask your reps questions, find out what they need to be successful, learn who on the team is having success right now, what type of customer profile and what sales playbook they're using. And then find out which from that rep that cracked the code and is being successful, find out what they did, all those things, and then look to empower that rep to explain to the rest of the team how and work with them to do that, mm-hmm. explain how they were successful, where they found success, so that the rest of the team can replicate those behaviors. You really have to understand what's going on the ground level, you know, as a sales leader, because you get close to the reps so that you can steer the ship in the right direction. And it's also worth thinking about KPIs and, you know, what KPIs you were using to measure the team in good times, and do they have to change in bad times is what you're focusing on, because, you know, it's sometimes you have to change things to be responsive to the current situation.
For sure. So what are your thoughts on that? Because I've heard a couple of different opinions on this at the moment. Some companies saying, you know, keep the KPIs the same because you want to try to push people to work as hard as they were and not sort of maybe let the idea of the recession allow them to work a little bit less hard. So, you know, keep their quotas the same, keep the KPIs the same. And then, of course, I've heard other people saying, well, no, you can't, because if 50 to 75% of their audience has disappeared, how can they possibly maintain the same numbers? There has to be some shift. So what do you think?
Yeah, I think this is dependent on the industry and on the company. You know, I think it is quite possible you have to rework some of the sales plans, the structure, as I talked about earlier, with you know, whether you're basing it on top line or bottom line, and what the expectations are, because they, you know, if you're selling beer to bars and the bars are all closed, you're just gonna have to change what you're demanding out of your sales reps, and or they're not gonna be very motivated to, you know, because they're not gonna make any money. I think in general, managers need to change their focus towards forward-looking KPIs, whereas historically, especially in good times, it's easy to manage looking at just lagging KPIs. A lagging KPI being like the current revenue that's coming in the door. That's the classic thing that you would manage a sales rep on, and revenue and profitability coming in the door today. But that's a lagging KPI, right? That's what your sales are today, depending on your sales cycle, could be from behaviors they've been performing over the past year, right? So I think shifting to more forward-looking in tough times is a good way to keep a handle on who's engaged, who's making progress. And there's a tendency to look at just sales numbers right now because cash is king, and you know, everyone's a little, it's easy to be strapped for cash in a difficult economic time. But as you evaluate your reps, I think you need to remember to keep an eye on who's building pipe, who's going to be generating in the revenue in the future. And you want to look to KPIs that are going to indicate that, and realign what KPIs you're focused on based on where your team's struggling. So if you're having trouble building pipeline, you need to start counting things like lead gen numbers, meetings with qualified deals, you know, proposals being written. If it's more, I guess that's more middle of the funnel, like proposals, that sort of thing. If it's deals are struggling to close, you can look at negotiations skills. You can do some trainings around value selling. You can do trainings around and measure KPIs around like qualification. Mm-hmm. You can track discounts on deals. That's a great KPI to track right now. Figure out why did we have to give away this discount to win it? How can we better protect our margins? I guess that goes back to value selling and negotiation skills again. But the, you know, ultimately, these are all secondary metrics to revenue for a sales team. And if you focus on anything too much, and really gear people's sales plans around anything other than revenue or profitability, you can get skewy results in terms of, sure, it'll make your reps focus on the wrong things, focusing on things that aren't producing revenue. You know, if you really comp people heavily on proposals written, then you'll get a lot of proposals written, but your revenue won't necessarily go up. And so, mm-hmm. you get, you, you it's dangerous to put too much weight on anything other than revenue or profitability. But that's, I think that's the general shift of in a bad economy, shift your KPIs to forward, think more about forward-looking KPIs and how you can measure them and which ones are really going to drive business value for your team.
Got it. So the KPIs that are basically generating future pipeline or kind of nurturing deals, that kind of stuff, like keeping an active pipeline, but not necessarily, as you mentioned, like a lagging revenue tracking sort of KPI where it's like, okay, there's this much revenue today. So that was the work done over the past couple of months or whatever. Instead, it's what's the work being done right now that in a couple of months will yield revenue.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Okay. So let's talk about the reps themselves. What do you think are the areas that reps commonly need coaching in a down economy?
Well, I think it's a really important time, and as is any time there's been major transition, to up-level your team's skills, adjust your team's skills. If there's a time of change, there's down economy, it's really important. And like I said before, I think sales managers should be spending about 50% of their time coaching their teams. And, coaching is a lot of things, right? So pre-call strategizing counts, post-call debriefing counts, joint calls, any opportunity specific coaching, anything that makes your team and your rep better would count towards that 50% rule of thumb. In terms of what needs to be coached, I'd say it probably depends on team and industry once again, but there's, negotiation is probably something everyone should revisit right now. Specifically, how do you defend your margins? How do you sell the value of our product? What are the benefits our customers receive? That's something that probably every team could freshen up on a bit in a down economy. I think pipeline building is another area that every team, anyone can revisit that. I mean, we're coming out of a great time, great economy, and we maybe just haven't had to pound the pavement as hard as we maybe would in a bad economy, and as hard as we'll have to, because we're just going to see more deals not go through, see more things get stuck, not close, be paused for later. Mm-hmm. So that's another good area to sharpen the sword, I think.
Got it. So back to the negotiation, what do you think is a good kind of negotiation methodology, or like where should salespeople or sales reps be looking, or sales leaders looking for kind of training with regards to negotiation? What do you recommend there?
Well, I mean, I guess it kind of depends on your product and what's going on. I think there's a lot of different kinds. There's tons of great negotiation trainings. I had Chris Voss on my podcast, and he did a really, really good job. I think he's got a new book out. I forget what it's called, but I would definitely check out that podcast. He kills it. It's, mm-hmm. If you just Google Badger, Outside Sales Talk is my podcast. It's mostly a podcast for outside salespeople. And the Chris Voss episode is really, really good. I think everyone needs to, in your negotiation training, it's less, most of these software negotiations are less about, it's not a zero sum negotiation. There's often areas where you can find the ability to create more value for your customers. So focusing on those as opposed to focusing on negotiating on the price is really important. In general, when you're buying a piece of software, it's worth a lot more to you than it is, then you're paying for it. I think on average, probably you're paying a quarter to 10% of the value you're getting from the software. And so if that's the case, then really a lot of the negotiation, I think, is in helping prove to the customer and helping the customer, your the person who wants it at the company, validate up the chain that this is really worth doing. So helping them, you've got to enable your biggest proponents and the people who want this to get done. You have to enable them to walk into the CFO's office and say, hey, we got to do this. It's going to pay itself back this fast. Here's how I measured it. Here are the numbers behind it. Here's the research I did, and really help them and empower them to have that conversation successfully. And that then it's less about that zero sum negotiation and any Jedi mind tricks that you might try to use to not have to give up that 10%.
Right. Makes sense. Yeah. And Chris Voss is definitely who comes to mind for me when you speak of negotiation. I think he's like kind of the icon for that type of stuff. So I'll be sure to link your episode with him in our show notes here so that everyone can take a listen. Yeah. And his books speak on that topic in great detail. So yeah, he's definitely a great resource for that. So how can a sales leader take advantage of prospects actually picking up the phone now that they're kind of stuck at home and being open to new ideas because a down economy forces them to be open to change?
Great question. I mean, I think that's a strange thing that's going on right now is that people are actually picking up the phone because they're at home, right? They're lonely. they're alone in a room somewhere. And so people call. I'm picking up calls all the time now. I'm like, oh, a human wants to talk to me. That's fantastic.
Sure.
So I think you can reach decision makers now on the phone that would have been impossible to reach a year ago because they just weren't picking up their phones. I think you can run some plays there that are working because people are picking up the phone it may also be a good idea to shift more resources towards lead generation and making those outbound calls. You know, maybe the deployment team has less to do right now. Maybe the customer success team has less to do right now. You can shift some of those resources. And obviously, you know, Aaron wrote the book on this, but so I don't have to tell you guys, but like shifting people to towards that is really shifting people towards more SDR work. It may be a good time for that if you get people enable more people to set up your AEs with deals to close, and that may involve shifting some of your farmers and some of your deployment team towards those SDR roles temporarily until business picks up on and they have more to do. It's a good time to shift resources around.
Sure. Makes sense. Cause it's kind of something that you have control over is that prospecting function. So if you can add more resources to it right now, when this is kind of the most vital piece, makes sense to do that. And then, yeah, of course, when things are kind of back to normal, then you can reallocate those resources back where they came from.
Yeah. I mean, great time to shift around resources and great time to, I mean, obviously what you guys do, you know, great time to bring in outside help on phone calls. Phones work right now in a way they just never have. So I would recommend it make a lot more phone calls because they work.
Yeah. Yeah, makes sense. And more on that kind of people being open to change piece. Of course, right now, a lot of people are struggling. So, and their businesses are struggling. So they're kind of open to any ideas that will make them struggle less. So how do you think we reps can kind of capitalize on that if they do happen to catch somebody on the phone or in some kind of outreach?
Well, I think one thing you can think about is the messaging that you're providing to these customers. And when you catch someone on the phone, you may want to change your messaging from, and you've got that opportunity, you can capitalize on it by changing your messaging from "we'll help you do better" to "we'll help you do more with less," which, and you see in a good economy, especially, and if you go to people's websites, even the messaging you see is always is very frequently some version of "we'll help you do better. We'll help you do 20% better. We'll help you, we'll help you." Yeah. But what a lot of buyers care about right now is they've got less resources on hand and they're being asked to do more because there's more to get done. It's just, everything's harder right now. If you can approach someone with that messaging, "we'll help you do more with less," and then when you actually have them on the phone, you need to show them in terms of dollars. You have to help your prospects understand how much more they'll be able to do. So it could be less, more, it could be, and with less. So it could be how much less money they're going to need, how much less manpower they're going to need, how much less resources they're going to need to do more, and really show it to them in terms of dollars. We went through this exercise at Badger Maps recently and it was really helpful. It was because we definitely fell into this story where it's like we started out a year ago, our messaging was, we'll help you sell 20% more with your field sales team. So classic, we'll help you do more messaging. And in these times, we've shifted to, with Badger Maps, your outside sales team can generate the same revenue, even though your team is 20% smaller. And you can see how similar those that messaging is, but there's a huge difference in how it resonates with the people that you catch on the phone, and because it's much more in tuned for these times.
Yeah, I think that's such an interesting way of doing it, because everyone is sick of the, mentioning the pandemic or mentioning the recession in your messaging. Can't do that anymore. So how can you, but you still want to address that everything is not the same. You can't just, break into somebody's inbox and say like, hey, pay me a bunch of money to do a thing that you probably don't have right now. Mm-hmm. But I think that's such an interesting way, Steve, of framing it, because it addresses the kind of problem that exists in the background, but while providing the solution, and in a way that's not really like, it's not too overt, it's not too direct, it's just kind of here, let's help you solve that with the issue that you have, and taking that into account.
Yeah, I forget where I got that idea. I didn't make it up myself, but I heard credit. someone said this, and I was like, oh yeah, I've got to sit down and do this with the, I sat down with the marketing team and tweaked the messaging, and then I sat down with the sales team and tweaked their messaging, I think it really it makes a difference.
Totally. Anyone listening right now, I encourage you to give that a go and even A/B test it and let us know how it worked. We'd love to hear feedback. You can put it in the YouTube comments. You can shoot us a LinkedIn message. I'm sure, Steve, you'd love to hear how it works for other companies too.
Yeah, absolutely.
And if it works, maybe we can build an ebook around it or something, because it sounds like it would work really well. So let's keep that in the back of our minds. We'll start testing that on our end too. I'll make sure I start doing that. So if any of you listening receive a prospecting message from me after I know that you listen to this, it's probably going to say that.
Well, there we have an action item already.
Perfect. Awesome. So that kind of led us to our next point here, which was around messaging. So adjusting that messaging to build more pipeline. We've mentioned how to do that. Do you think there's any other shifts with regards to messaging that happen when you're trying to resonate with prospects during a recession?
Yeah, I think, focus on listening and then adjusting your messaging based on what you're hearing, because different customers are really impacted differently. This is a very strange recession. I mean, it's overall, a recession is a wet blanket over the whole economy, but this is a very unique situation where some people are just totally hosed and other people are not really affected, and most people are somewhere in the middle. So you really have to listen to your customers and know your ideal customer profile may be shifting. And so you may want to shift who you're focused on, and therefore what and with that, probably your messaging as well.
Yeah. Yeah, that makes sense. Yeah. So to kind of going back to basics and having a look at, does your audience need to shift? And then from there, of course, building the most relevant messaging to this potentially new ideal customer profile or persona. But if it is the same person, switching to that that messaging you mentioned, where it's the help you do more for less rather than just help you do more. Cool.
Absolutely.
Okay, let's talk about specifically field sales. You have a lot of expertise in field sales. You run the software company for field salespeople. Field salespeople in particular are under a ton of pressure right now because they can't go into the fields. They can't go out and do that face-to-face that they're used to doing. So how do we bridge the gap of having no face-to-face visits, especially when the sales pitch is kind of based on being there in person, kind of showing the product to the person? What if you can't demo it over video or whatever? How do you address that big challenge?
Yeah, I agree. There's not being able to meet customers face to face is killing a lot of businesses right now. And there's just some things are just sold best face to face. And so when you can't do that, fewer deals close. It's harder to communicate the value. Sales cycles take longer. In circumstances where the relationship was important, new relationships are harder to build. I think this really the field salespeople are often right now at a real disadvantage, and sales are just in trouble. in these cases, or if, you know, and sometimes things are just made impossible for the time being. If you sell beer to bars, the bars are closed. So it's, you know, now that being said, there are a lot of, I'd say 80% of our customers are still able to keep making sales in the field, and they're having meetings, they're just doing it in a, you know, safe way, and they're in essential industries, right? So if you're a med device salesperson, you're still meeting with doctors and showing them the med devices because that's essential. Beer at bars is one of the examples that is not essential, although I feel like it should be, but it's not.
Yeah, what a shame.
I know, right? But you know, in these circumstances, I think the best thing to do is stay productive. Like in the circumstances of like you are just, you know, not able to get in front of your customers and you kind of need to get the sale closed, you know, you want to keep generating new sales cycles, moving those sales cycles downfield, even if you can't demo the product in person and maybe it's going to be hard to close. Just focus on filling the top of the funnel, and maybe the end of the funnel is going to have a little jam up in it. But maybe remote selling earlier in the funnel, you know, the lead generation process, et cetera, it's easier to succeed there with remote selling, right? Mm-hmm. So do more prospecting, build more lists, get awareness up about the value of your product and in your territory. Spend time building relationships with those with your ideal customers, and in particular customers that maybe you can still sell to. I think it's a great time for social selling. You know, it's a great time to invest in your social selling skills. This is obviously a topic big enough for a book. Throughout this crisis, that's something that we've been focused on, and I've had several experts on this on my podcast during the crisis. Like there's a bunch of people who have a lot of deep expertise in social selling, and they've got some clever tactics to generate new leads and deepen existing relationships with social media. I think that, you know, the best thing to do if you need to move to a remote inside sales type model when you've historically been going to market with field sales, and maybe you need to go, there was a reason that you were going with field sales and maybe you need to do that. Focus on your performance and focus on what your goals are for the next year instead of the next month, the next quarter, because the next month or next quarter maybe continue to be massively impacted. You know, the way I like to look at this is when you're talking to your prospects over Zoom or over the phone, you can be productive right now and you can move these sales cycles as far as you can. And usually I have a bowling analogy I like to use here. So usually a sales rep is setting up like 10 bowling pins, and then you roll the ball, and that's in the month, right? You sell up your 10 deals, your 10 bowling pins in the month, then you roll the ball, see what you can knock down, right? But now if you can't get outside, maybe you can still keep setting up pins. And maybe you don't get to roll the ball now, but you can keep setting up the pins, right? So maybe you set up 100 pins, and then eventually you're going to get to roll the ball down the lane and knock down a whole bunch of pins. So think about, how can I maximize revenue over the next year? Maybe you can knock down the same number of pins, but a lot of them will come in February or next July, and fewer will come now. But over the next 12 months, you'll still be able to hit the same number of pins as you would have. It's just on a different cadence.
Right. So it's back to that idea of kind of the forward thinking KPIs, where you're planning on building that pipeline for the future. You're doing all your hard work, but not necessarily going to be closing all of them in the coming weeks or months. Something that you mentioned earlier on when we were talking about kind of how sales leaders themselves need to kind of change their behaviors, you mentioned that communication is super important. You've got to be open with that team. So what are some thoughts you have on specific ways that sales leaders can kind of change their communication in these times?
Well, I think you got to remember, you know, people's imaginations get the best of them, right? So particularly within large groups. So gossip of impending doom is powerful. It travels quickly and can lead to rash decisions and morale problems amongst employees, right? So sales leaders need to communicate with their teams in a transparent and a realistic and an optimistic way. They need to give their team an action plan. They need to help them put their fears to rest and be able to focus on selling. That's one of your key jobs as a sales manager in a time like this. So, you know, your reps want safety, they want security, everybody does, right? And as a business leader, or in this case, a sales leader, you're responsible for that base layer of people's pyramid of needs, right? Like the money they pay for food and their home and their healthcare, et cetera. Ultimately, you're their long-term financial security as well. And then you're also responsible for things that are higher up the pyramid, you know, their enjoyment of life and the wants as opposed to the needs. I think you want to, one of your key responsibilities in a time like this is to communicate with them clearly and truthfully about where things are really at, right? So, and that can allow them to plan accordingly. Mm-hmm. And from a productivity perspective, if you don't communicate clearly and truthfully, then they're going to spend all their time worrying about the worst. So specifically as a sales leader, I think you want to tell people, what is the immediate term plan? What's the midterm plan? What's the long-term plan? And then how do each one of those change given these external factors that we're dealing with in this recession and in these times? So if it's a small recession, we're going to do this. If it's a prolonged recession that grows into a depression, these are the actions we're going to have to take. You need to make them feel comfortable that there's a steady hand on the wheel, and that way they can know what to expect. More frequent communication, daily huddles with your team, same time every day, bring the team together even when they're working apart. Focus on the KPIs and see how everyone else is doing against their KPIs. Share success stories, get them the support and the guidance that they need. You can even do two huddles a day, one at the beginning of the day and one at the end of the day, especially in trying times or during all this. That's not crazy to have a couple quick meetings a day with the team just to level set and talk about how things are going. And you got to really listen to people right now. People really connect with them and listen to them because everyone's got different things going on.
Mm-hmm. So that's the relationship with the team. We've talked about the relationship with the prospects and how that kind of shifts now they're at home. They're more open to phone calls, more open to change, kind of the type of messaging changes that need to be made. What about the change in customer relationships, like existing customers? How do you think that those relationships change in these times?
Sure. Yeah. Well, I mean, everyone's talking about empathy right now, right? And I think that's relatively obvious. Like we all could work on being better empathizers in many areas of our lives, right? But I think the good news on that front is that we all have one more thing in common. You know, we're all in this together. You know, all the humans in the whole world, we have a very similar problem right now. But that being said, I think it is a much harder time for relationship building. You may notice in this new world less trust, less customer loyalty. You may find sales cycles becoming longer. So you've got to work against that. And I guess a good strategy there that comes to mind is leveraging your sponsor in the organization. It's when you're doing business, especially complex deals right now, you've got to have someone on the inside being your eyes and ears. You need this to be successful. It's more than ever right now. Your sponsor is rarely the only decision maker, right? They, especially given tightening purse strings in a changing economy, right? Your sponsor is the one who's on your side. They see the value. They see the benefit the company would get, and so you can ask your sponsor before a meeting, with their team. You can ask them to uncover objections from the other decision makers and the other influencers so that you can address them proactively in the meeting. You can subtly prepare them. I've always recommended pre-meeting calls, but now more than ever, because it's like, it can, because there's so many moving parts, different perspectives. But do a pre-meeting call, so get your sponsor on the phone before the group meeting and figure out what those key questions are that they think the group is going to have, and maybe even help them facilitate key points during the discussion by bringing up those questions proactively. You can kind of mm-hmm. prep them. But yeah, the relationship with your sponsor is so much more important when you're pitching remotely, because you can't get a read of the room. You don't have all the information that you have available in a face-to-face situation. You can't read people's body language. You lose the chit-chat that builds rapport. You just might not get the relationship in place with every decision maker that you could in person. And so when you need your sponsor, you really, more than ever, you need your sponsor to kind of follow up with those different people because they already have those relationships. So follow up with those other decision makers, the other influencers, and get genuine feedback about what's going on and work with them based on that to move a deal towards closure.
Amazing. Well, I think that brings us almost to the end of our interview here. Steve, any last words of advice for sales leaders listening right now who are kind of starting to build their plan to get business back on track?
I mean, you know, focus on the long term. I think, be careful about changing strategies too much because this is, I think, going to be short term. I think we'll be relatively, depending on the industry, right? I think things will be relatively back to normal by next summer. But I think this is relatively prolonged. So, you know, mm-hmm. batten down the hatches and look for where you are still being successful. Rethink who is my ideal customer now, and focus in on them. And help the team as a sales leader, help the team get through this and keep putting one foot in front of the other and making things happen till the world is through these times.
Well, thank you so much for coming on the show, Steve. And thank you all for listening to another episode of the Predictable Revenue Podcast. This is, of course, incredibly relevant advice right now. And it's great to hear some kind of tangible tactics. So we're not just theorizing about what can we be doing to recover in times like these, but we actually have some strategies to put in place. Thanks to you, Steve. If people want to learn more from you, if they want to get in touch with you, where can they do that?
Well, the best place to get in touch with me is probably LinkedIn. Hearing more from me, my podcast is a great place, Outside Sales Talk. If you have a field sales team, which I would guess most of your listeners don't, I would guess mostly inside, but if you have a field sales team, check out what Badger Maps does. Just go to our website, badgermapping.com. Those are probably the best ways to get in touch with me.
Perfect. Well, we are going to include one of those episodes from your podcast in the show notes, so it'll be easy for everybody to find that. And I'm sure there'll be plenty of episodes. Yeah, even if you don't have a field sales team, there's so much that's transferable kind of across sales in general. So definitely be sure to check that out. Again, Steve, thank you for coming on the show and see you guys all next time.
Yeah, thanks so much for having me, Sarah. This has been great.